Alright, good morning. It's dark out. What time is it? It's 5:15. Heading down San Jose Avenue. About to enter the newly painted bike lanes. I think that they're not quite done yet. So I've gone up the hill many times on this bike, on this hill, in the bike lanes, but now I'm going down. I think that'll be the first time. I don't think they're stenciled with a little bike symbol in them yet, but they're there. The thing is, in the morning, this time of day, I prefer to take the center lane of this, what was a three lane. Oh, look. Here we are, three left turn, merge left arrows for the cars, and then, ta-da! Where there used to be a car lane, there's a bike lane. It's outside, it's well outside the door zone. It's about 5 or 6 feet wide, almost half as feet. It's about half as wide as the car lane. As I was saying, I think I prefer at this time of day to ride in the center lane, but I'm obeying the bike lane right now because it's my bike lane. I love this bike lane. Used to be three lanes of cars going this direction. Now there's only two. Of course, at this time of day, there's no cars anywhere except for just this one car that just joined me. They kind of come out of nowhere this time of day. Going up this hill the other way, I've always hated that hill. I've been riding up it for about 9 years now. God, what a nice bike lane. We've had some good bike lanes in this town. I'd probably be a bike lane hater if I lived anywhere else. Well, tonight I hope we go talk to Jillian Gillette, who I mentioned in a previous podcast about these bike lanes. She was the moving force behind all of this. So I gave her a call yesterday. She didn't get back to me. Hopefully we'll get to do a little talk tonight, maybe take a walk up and down the bike lanes. Okay. We're out here on San Jose Avenue with Jillian Gillette, local hero extraordinaire, winner of the Golden Wheel Awards from the San Francisco Bike Coalition. Say hi.
Hello. I'm slightly embarrassed.
Yeah, you should be, but that's okay. A little self-consciousness is good. So, I already have, by this point, given an introduction of who you are and what you've done and what we've done and all that stuff. So, this morning I made a recording. I haven't checked how it came out yet. I don't know if I'm going to use it, but it was a lot quieter than this because it was only 5 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah. This is nothing. This is early. Yeah. It gets incredibly noisy between 5 and 7.
You got to talk a little louder. Okay. So, we got rid of one lane in each direction. You can imagine this road. You can hear, by the way, it sounds what it's like. It's used to be six lanes, three in each direction. Now it's two and plus a bike lane in each direction.
And a wider median.
So there's a yellow line that got painted that wasn't there before?
Right, on both sides. It's okay. 4 feet long, so it makes a 12-foot median.
Okay.
Out of a 4-foot median, or from the 4-foot median.
So, you don't really ride a bike very much, do you? You're not a bicyclist. You're not what you would call a bicyclist. And if you were, you're not really a fanatical bicyclist, right?
Right. I biked a lot when I lived in Manhattan, but my bicycle got stolen when I moved to San Francisco, and I haven't bought one yet. But I'm going bike shopping next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to get the Golden Wheel Award, you got to get a wheel.
I guess so.
So, what prompted you to start to put a bike lane on San Jose Avenue?
Well, we were looking for anything that would calm the traffic, and it's pretty well known that the presence of multi-modes of transportation causes drivers to ride better, and so bicycle lanes are a known traffic calming measure, and in order to take the lane of traffic out in each direction, we had to put something in the space, So it better be bicyclists.
Have you noticed a lot of bicyclists now?
Some. It doesn't seem like it's appreciably more than we had before the lanes, but we're hoping to really encourage people to come out here.
What's it been like, 3 days now?
Right.
A week in this direction.
Right. A week in the southbound direction, and the northbound lanes were finished yesterday.
Yeah. So, basically, it was to calm traffic, and how did you go about trying to get things moving?
Well, Toby Levine started the San Jose Guerrero Coalition to Save Our Streets in 1997, after she left the Planning Commission. And she and the other members of the coalition had been nudging DPT since then to do traffic studies to find out what the counts were and what kind of traffic calming remedies we could have, with sort of little success because DPT didn't have any money for traffic calming. So we, on our own, based on our own study and, you know, surveying neighbors and discussion groups, picked six key things that we thought would dramatically improve the neighborhood for the least amount of money. And we wrote those up as draft legislation and asked our supervisors, Dufty and Amiano, to ask why those things couldn't be implemented. And DPT studied them and decided that every one of the remedies that we proposed would actually most likely improve the operation of the corridor.
Huh. Amazing. And you got, but you also brought all your neighbors into it as well. It wasn't just a small core group. It was a small core group of people, but you had a lot of signatures. I remember the big sheet of paper.
Right, so we submitted an official DPT traffic calming application in January or February of 2004. And that had 250 or 260 signatures on it, mostly from people in the neighborhood. There were about 30 signatures from advocates. And DPT told us at that time that they had ranked all of the major arterials in the city and that we didn't qualify for traffic calming at this time because we hadn't had enough severe injuries to pedestrians, cyclists, or actual deaths. But we nonetheless felt all of the signatories on the petition and everyone else that knows about it that, you know, the street is nevertheless not safe. And so that's why we pursued working with our supervisors, and we held a crosswalk demonstration on July 19th of last year to bring attention to how difficult it was and how obviously unsafe it was. And then there were a series of hearings at City Hall about the issue. And people whose homes had been crashed into by cars read letters or had letters read for them. And people who had raised children that had never been able to cross the street spoke. And you know, a wide variety of residents spoke about how the street drastically affected the quality of their lives.
I just want to take a moment as we pass Mitchell's Ice Cream to put in a plug for Mitchell's Ice Cream. They have the best ice cream probably in the whole world. Okay. And there's some people out here. It's very few businesses out on the streets. Mostly residential. You wouldn't know it to listen to it. It still sounds like a freeway out here, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
Is there less traffic or is it just sort of crammed into two lanes? The same traffic that we had before? Is anybody doing a study on that?
DPT will do another count in November, probably. The idea is to give the lanes a few months to stabilize and then see what the new roadway count is. So yeah, they haven't done it yet, but they will.
Are they going to count the traffic on the parallel streets?
I think so. They're certainly going to count it on Dolores to make sure. Mission, I don't think anybody's really worried that somebody's going to take Mission instead of San Jose.
No, it's true. Yeah. And Dolores ends right here at
right. Well, so Dolores is, some motorists are cutting across to Dolores thinking that perhaps they'll get onto the freeway faster, but Dolores has the same number of lights and stop signs as San Jose and Guerrero, but it's also hilly, and it is necked down to one lane in each direction at the top where it meets San Jose, so it's not really a reliable alternative.
So we're approaching the big hill here. When I was podcasting this morning, I was coming down the hill, and I started to talk about how I've always hated going up this hill because you're not separated from the fast traffic. People start to punch it right here in their cars because they feel like they're about to get on a freeway, which is what we've been fighting against here, that impulse. We're trying to change the look and feel of the street.
Right.
And this hill always killed me because I always felt like I had to go really fast just to... And there was no way I was going to keep up with this traffic. And last Sunday I was coming home with my 6-year-old on the alley cat behind me.
Oh, here?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was the first time we'd gone together up this hill. And I was sweating a little bit, so I took off my... I had a beanie cap on. I started to sweat, and I took it off, and I had my messenger bag, and I turned it around. And the light turned green, and I started to panic because I had to turn on my... Put the hat in my bag, turn the bag around, put my pedals back, snap my feet back into the pedals. And then I realized nobody was honking behind me. There wasn't anybody behind me. I felt no pressure to hurry up, and we had this nice, long, leisurely, slow ride up the hill.
That's great.
Yeah,
so it's working.
It's working. It's working great for cyclists.
That's really great.
At least for me.
Well, we're really excited. I mean, it looks like having an extra foot of width in the parking lane is also going to make it safer for cyclists because it might reduce the likelihood that people get doored.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think of the rain?
It's good.
Yay!
Bicycle is going.
I'm so happy. All right.
Yeah, so I'm probably completely bike laned all the way from downtown to my house almost, except for Monterey Boulevard is next, I guess.
They're working on that actually. I think, let's see. Somebody from DPT showed me a drawing of. They're going to make a cut through on Monterey so that you can cross.
Really?
Yeah, is it Monterey or is it. It's Bosworth. You don't have to go all the way around.
Oh, right. Okay, that's different. Yeah.
Right.
And there was actually supposed to be more striping over on the entrances and exits at the top of Monterey.
Right.
So the really odd thing about this, the way things turned out, is that it, well, what it was Guerrero turns into Guerrero Street turns into San Jose.
Just south of 28th.
Guerrero is already 2 lanes in each direction.
Right.
With synchronized lights.
Right.
And then you came here and you had 3 lanes in each direction. It was what we called the bulb.
Right.
And then it would shrink down to 2 lanes again as you got into the little freeway section in the Bernal Cut there.
Yeah.
And it's weird because there's still a little mini bulge up there at the corner of Randall and San Jose.
Right, so it's really a cause for concern and monitoring at the very least, but probably action as well.
Yeah.
Because in order to make it easier for the 10,000 cars a day or so which use Dolores, a third lane was maintained sort of between just north of Dolores and Randall Street. So what it does is occasionally it allows drivers to pass on the right by entering the bike lane and driving to the right of the bike lane.
Hard to picture if you're not actually seeing it. But
you have to drive. It basically describes this arc.
Get a real bike.
Yeah.
Sorry. This is Bikescape. We're talking about Bikescape.
It basically describes this arc that the middle of which is the intersection of Randall and San Jose Avenue. And the reason that it's really dangerous or potentially really dangerous is that the middle of that arc is where the Fairmont Elementary School is. So one of the main reasons that we did all this was to get some kind of mitigation for the Fairmont Elementary School, which is one of the undiscovered gems of the San Francisco Unified School District and is actually a desirable school. But for kids to walk there, especially from Bernal, they have to cross San Jose Avenue, which at this intersection, something like, well, it's close to 100 feet wide. I can't remember the exact measurements. But so at this point, with the 3 lanes remaining in each direction just in front of the school, the only mitigation in terms of safety for the kids is a 5-foot bike lane next to the sidewalk on each side. So in theory, they have 10 feet fewer to cross if they start in the bike lane, and they have sort of a buffer from the traffic. But the sidewalks are... The sidewalk right at Randall is only like 6 feet wide. It was pathetic.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I wouldn't want
to
let my kid walk to
school. Yeah, it's like
So, of course, now the kids get driven to school, and then there's a huge traffic jam, and all the cars are double-parked.
Right. So that's certainly an issue. But lots of the kids here actually do walk to school. This is one of the schools that's participated in Walk to School Day since its inception. And
Yeah, they have a good relationship with Walk San Francisco, right?
Right, and with DPT, because they were a pilot school for the Walk to School Day program. So a lot of kids here actually do walk to school, and they cross San Jose, catch a bus on Mission, or catch a bus to go up Cortland.
This is what, K through 8 school or K through 6?
It's K through 6, yeah. And so here they are, like, you know, when school gets out or when they get there's not enough room for all of them to stand on the intersection because it's so tiny. And they're standing right next to traffic that is gunning it to get up to, you know, as fast as they can go onto the freeway.
So have you heard any opposition?
That's true.
Yes.
This guy parks here every day. He parks way up on the sidewalk. DPT will not cite this truck. I have no idea why.
Oscar Roman. I've seen him before.
We try to get him to not do this. So he breaks the sidewalk. He screws up the visibility. He's way up on the sidewalk. They're yellow striped zebra crossings right here. This is clearly where children cross the street all the time.
Bastards.
Something like that.
Jillian would never say that word about anybody. She just goes to court. She doesn't get mad, she gets even. So was that crosshatching over there?
That's brand new. So that, yeah. After I talked to you last time.
That's what you were talking about.
That was a parking spot, but now
you can't park there anymore.
Right, so that's the beginning of this arc. So the frustrated driver pulls into, especially now that Oscar Roman is up on the sidewalk and not actually parked in the parking lane, he's parked on the sidewalk, a driver can get into the bike lane here. And it was really unclear until the zebra striping went in here, you know, what the relationship of this lane was to cars. So cars would drive to the right of the bike lane, potentially getting in an accident with the drivers from
the lane. Yeah, I saw it happening.
Right.
Even on the first day.
Well, the first day, it was the day that happened the most, because they hadn't finished all the striping on the first day, so the drivers were, you know, realistically confused, I think. There weren't enough visual cues for them, you know, at the same time that they're trying to get used to the whole change. So it's gotten a lot better. I spend, you know, 10 or 15 minutes up at this intersection every day watching it, and it seems to be decreasing almost every day, the number of cars that do that. But, you know, it's still possible, and sort of the irate, younger, typically alpha male kind of who just doesn't want to deal with any more steps on the gas, and it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big surprise for me. I mean, it's on our own website. What is it, sanjoseguerrero.com?
We put that
on the blog.
Yeah.
But on our website, it goes to three lanes. I guess that was sort of an oversight, but...
Well, it was kind of an oversight, but mostly it was that, you know, DPT had to take this to planning to get an environmental clearance.
Without
doing a full environmental impact review to get a categorical exemption, there had to be absolutely no question about the level of service at this intersection.
Level of service, that's a code word, LOS, the DPT.
It means the number of cars that are put through, well, actually, that's not true. It's a way of rating how drivers feel.
Not pedestrians or bicyclists, just
drivers, yeah. Right? The scale applies to drivers. And the notion is that, you know, so the level of service at intersections has to do with the number of seconds, the average number of seconds that drivers are standing still. And there's a sort of scale for that. So the level of service for this intersection is not symmetric. In the mornings, I think it's D.
It's rated A through F, right?
Right, A through F.
Turn off this phone, I'll have to listen to that later.
So in the mornings it's level of service D, and in the afternoons it's level of service C, because, you know, evening rush hour is longer and is more spread out. So, you know, that couldn't go down, the D couldn't go down to E or F without getting a full environmental impact review. And so to make sure that remained the same, these three lanes were kept right up here. And
so nobody misses the irony of this. This is an environmental review,
right,
that has to do with how fast cars can go through, you know, polluting cars can go through an intersection at the expense of the safety of people walking and riding bikes who are truly environmentally conscious.
Right, and more importantly,
it's like,
more importantly to me, at this intersection, it has to do with the the level of service of the cars versus the level of service for the school kids. You know, we're trying to do this to protect these children and to make this school a more desirable place to attend. So, you know, protecting kids seems paramount, but not in this case, I guess.
Yeah. Well, all of that environmental stuff is in flux right now. CEQA and LOS and all that stuff is something that probably won't be in the same format in a few years.
Hopefully not. But at the very least, it seems to me that the city needs to kind of look at levels of service for all modes of transportation. Always include those comparisons and have some sort of slide rule system for establishing the relative weights. But you know, that takes kind of time and would take a lot more data collection. So, I don't know. I mean, so this is just, it's horrible. I don't really understand how this could be remedied.
What, this intersection here? Yeah, where we're still talking about the mini bulges here.
Well, yeah, so the BART director Tom Radulovich described this particular intersection like a trident, you know, like the base of a fork. So if you're driving or cycling or whatever, you're coming into the city through the San Jose Avenue Bernal Cut, you're staring down at the intersection of Mission, San Jose Avenue, and Dolores. And it's a really wonky intersection where none of them actually meet at the same point, and because they're staggered, it's really difficult to control the merges, especially when you have these heavy, heavy volumes of traffic.
Noisy traffic. Hard to do a podcast.
So, I mean, you can see the problem here. So they wanted to make it easier for drivers to get off of Dolores. They're always looking left, right? So here's a little, pretend that we're school kids.
Left and back, yeah.
Left and back. They're not at all paying attention to the pedestrian. They always stop in the crosswalk.
Yeah, well, they have to
see.
They
have to in order to see.
Especially with Oscar Roman parking his huge truck there on the sidewalk.
Exactly. You can't see around him. You know,
Oscar Roman, telephone number 756-9407, it says on his truck. Give him a call. Yeah. Tell him not to park on the sidewalk.
Right. Tell him to be a better neighbor.
Well, it sure is a nice view from up here. You can see all the way to the Bay Bridge. It's just, I never stopped to actually look at the view here.
Yeah, it's a really nice view. It's even nicer as you get a little bit higher. Of course, you know, the view in that direction is nice. The view right here is largely of a gas station.
Yeah.
The fabulous Shell station that sits in the middle of the Trident.
Yeah, that could be better use there, that land.
Oh, yeah.
Although I appreciate that gas, that air pump sometimes. 25 cents they charge. I think there's a law against that. They're not supposed to charge for air.
Couldn't we have a BART station with air pumps too?
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, why do gas stations have to be dealing with places with air pumps? There was going to be a BART station right here. There was some talk about
it. Yeah, the feasibility study was done for a block and a half away from here. And that would really be great because, you know, anything like that would encourage people from Dolores and from Upper Noe to walk across San Jose, and then we would have a lot better intersections, and we would have a lot more businesses. Like, a bunch of the storefronts along here have been vacant forever because who would start a business here?
Yeah, well, I'll bet thanks to your efforts, I'll bet that's going to change. I bet there's going to be a lot more. I'm sure the property values are going to go up just a little bit because of this. Because we've got a ways to go still. It'd be nice to have trees down the middle and.
Yeah,
whatnot.
I mean, I think the equation that, you know, poor people have to live in unsafe places is really faulty. I think that we need to do something about that. You know?
Well, that's why we had our freeway revolt here in San Francisco, because they wanted to build freeways through rich neighborhoods.
Right.
There was a bunch of old society ladies who led the freeway revolt back in the 50s to do a podcast on that one of these days.
Oh, I've seen the website. It's very funny.
Yeah. Yes, Julian identifies. Well, I'm going to turn this off now.
All right.
And I don't want to go too long on this. But say goodbye, Julian.
Bye!
Hey, what are you smiling about? You like the bike lane?
Too much fun. Like the new bike lane is great.
Oh, good.
I just came from the Bike Coalition.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, thank you. Thank you.
We're just standing here gloating.
It's like a privilege now, right there.
Good. Well, bring more of you.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
Have a good day.
That was good.
Yeah.
So you want to wait for another one. I didn't even know that one.
I was out watering my flowers last night, and Mary Brown went cycling by. I was like, woo! She came up and gave me a hug, and she said, I am deeply in love with the Peck Lanes.
Yeah, she does make you feel good, doesn't she?
Great.
No, it's amazing how you ride a bike and you start seeing the same people all the time. And even if you didn't know them before, you start knowing them after a while.
Right.
She could look familiar. Maybe I just knew her from the coalition. I go in there and I don't know anybody anymore. There's so many
people.
This
guy's going to make a U-turn. He's going to make a U-turn. He's going to cut off.
Maybe he'll crash. That would be fun. Watch out for that guy in the red car. He's crazy. Did it. He's probably ticked. He had to come all the way down here before he could turn around. Where's the cop when you need him? I saw a sting here yesterday.
There's a sting here yesterday. In fact, they had to go because it's bumper to bumper. They couldn't do anything.
Yeah, and they were blocking the bike lane with their motorcycles.
Yeah. They caught from... They were here from like 2:30 on. Hey, what do you think of the new bike lane? Both sides of the thing.
You don't have to ride on the sidewalk anymore. Alright, so she's gonna ride on the sidewalk. Well, next time she will.
Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing, 'cause sometimes all my days are filled with rain. As I travel down life's highway, things ain't going my way, 'cause there's always someone swerving in my lane. You keep a swerving in my lane, and it's causing lots of danger. I'm a honking on my horn, I'm a shooting you the finger. I keep a switching on my bright lights, but you're just too dim to know when you're swerving on life's highway, you're running someone off the road. The day you drove away, I thought I never could love another. How else could I feel? But now when you run into me, I can't believe I could not see. You're all tanked up, but no one's at the wheel. You keep a swerving in my lane, and it's causing lots of danger. I'm a cussing out your name, I'm a shooting you the finger. I keep a switching on my bright lights, but you're just too dim to know when you're swerving on life's highway, you're running someone off the road. When and if I ever finally pass you, oh, when I do, and if I'm still alive, I won't ever see you, 'cause I'm ripping out my rear view, and I'm shifting it on in to overdrive, but you're still swerving in my lane, and it's causing lots of danger. I'm a stomping on the foot feet, I'm a shooting you the finger. I keep a switching on my bright lights, but you're just a dim to know when you're swerving on lights high.